relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
Portions of the following program may contain pre-recorded material.
Our biggest problem is that we have built a permanent structure of government, federal, state, and local. The permanent employees, and they've come to the place that they actually determine policy in this country more than does the Congress of the United States.
Was he talking about what today we would label the deep state? I think he was. A clip sent to me by one of my listeners, Jack. Thank you for that classic cut from Ronald Reagan on the Johnny Carson Show. Let's talk about what Reagan predicted and whether or not the enemy is now inside the wire. With the man who's authored so many books about the Gipper, we've got God and Ronald Reagan. The Crusader, Ronald Reagan and the Fall of Communism, and a Pope and a President, John Paul II, Ronald Reagan, and the extraordinary untold story of the collapse of the Soviet Union. We are delighted to have with us from Grove City College the relatively new editor of the American Spectator, Professor Paul Kangor. Welcome back to America First.
Hey, thanks, Seb. And that Reagan appearance on Johnny Carson, I would really commend that to people if they could track it down and watch the whole thing. It's very, very good. And it's pre-presidential years. It's in the 1970s. And I don't know how many people know this. I mean, I know this because of my research on Reagan, but Johnny Carson was a Reagan supporter.
Oh,
in fact, I've seen a number of letters at the Reagan Library between Carson and Reagan. And in fact, one of them, Reagan is directly thanking Carson and his wife. I think her name was Joanne, maybe, thanking them for a campaign contribution.
Wow.
So they had been. Carson was a Republican and a Reagan supporter. And so were a lot of his major guests. You know, Bob Hope, for example, Bing Crosby, Jimmy Stewart. And in those days, Hollywood was, I'd say, much more balanced, although actually I think it's probably more balanced today than people realize. It's just that the conservatives there today are terrified to speak up because liberals today are so brutal that they will destroy you if you come out as a Republican. Anyway,
it's funny that you mention Jimmy Stewart. I was at a dinner on Sunday, and a former member of the Trump administration, an actual cabinet member, said that one of the most exciting things as a young man or maybe a teenager on the campaign trail, Reagan stopped off and did a little speech literally on the tarmac at an airport close to where he lived to, and then flew off to another event. And who got off the plane with Ronald Reagan? It was Jimmy Stewart, who was actually campaigning with him. The good old days when an actor could actually have a political opinion that wasn't left wing. Right, Paul?
Well, yeah. And in fact, Jimmy Stewart, I'm from Western Pennsylvania. Jimmy Stewart was from the town of Indiana, Pennsylvania, which is in Western Pennsylvania. There's a Jimmy Stewart Museum there. By the way, David Ayers, a professor at Grove City College, just did a really nice remembrance. He visited the Jimmy Stewart Museum and wrote a nice write-up for us at the American Spectator if people want to check it out. But Stewart was, speaking of getting off an airplane, I mean, he flew bombing missions in World War II. And at that point, I mean, he was still already a celebrity, and he went off and fought anyway, as did people like Clark Gable, another Republican. In fact, Clark Gable did It Happened One Night, right? A Frank Capra movie with Claudette Colbert. She was a Reagan supporter. And Jimmy Stewart did a number of different Frank Capra movies, including Mr. Smith Goes to Washington. And of course, It's a Wonderful Life, which I think was after World War II, maybe. So Jimmy
Stewart, the younger brother is a war hero, is a World War II war hero, remember?
That's exactly right. And so Jimmy Stewart really faced, you know, he put himself in harm's way.
Yeah.
I mean, he could have been quite easily shot down and killed in World War II. So he's really a great American and a very strong Republican and very close Reagan supporter through Reagan's gubernatorial years and through the presidential years in the 1980s.
Professor Kangor's right. Go online, find the full video. It's a rather long interview between Carson and the pre-President Reagan, and it's superb. Lots of great stories are told by the Gipper. I chose that very short clip for a very special purpose. It's that line that he says, you know, our big problem is this permanent bureaucracy, the unelected, who think they get to decide the future of the nation, and nobody ever chose them or gave them a mandate to do so. Do you think he would recognize the enormity of that situation today when we see what the FBI, what the CIA, what the IRS are doing and riding roughshod over the rights of individuals for political purposes, Paul?
Oh, yeah, he'd be horrified by it. And it was in his 1981 inaugural address that he said, government isn't the solution, government is the problem. And what was the other line, Seb? He said,
The most terrifying words in the British language is, I'm here for the government, I'm here to help. Right.
Yeah, exactly right. We're thinking of the same thing. And he was, I think, one of the kind of major opportunities missed by Donald Trump, especially coming in as the outsider, as the rebel, as the guy that people voted for to, you know, sort of blow up Washington. I thought he should have done something really dramatic, like truly tried to eliminate the IRS.
Mm.
You know, and people, I've heard people say, well, you really can't, though. What Trump needed was a sort of Reagan-like Berlin Wall moment. You know, people remember Reagan for Berlin Wall speech, the Challenger speech, fighting the Soviets, winning the Cold War, cutting taxes, deregulation. You have all these kind of signature things. In fact, I remember reading a presidential historian who did a survey. He went back from Reagan back 10 or 12 presidents, and people were asked, name three things about this particular president. In the case of Reagan, there was almost unanimity. People could say, oh, that's easy. Cut the size of government, defeat the Soviets, cut taxes, right? So successful presidents need those sort of signature items. And I think the problem with Donald Trump is he didn't come away with any of those. And now maybe if he had had another term, he could have. I mean, I think of the things that Trump did that I like. I think of Supreme Court appointees, for example. But he lacked that sort of Berlin Wall moment that Ronald Reagan.
Let's go back in time. I think, and you are the historian of Ronald Reagan and communism. We'll talk about all that in a second. But long before the, what was it, 1987 Brandenburg Gate speech, I think the seminal moment when people realized, okay, this isn't your regular president, this isn't your regular Republican uniparty rhino, is when he fired all the air traffic controllers, when he gave that speech and he said, if you are going to endanger, if you're going to go on strike and endanger the flights of Americans, well, I'm going to fire every stinking one of you and then renegotiate your contracts or hire other people. What wasn't that the kind of catalytic moment when people realized, oh my gosh, this guy is serious?
Yeah, including the Soviets. I mean, the Soviets found that really striking. And by the way, you know, Reagan was an old union guy.
Yeah.
You know, Reagan had been, he negotiated for the Screen Actors Guild. I mean, he carried his union membership.
Well, he was the president of the SAG, of the Screen Actors Guild.
That's right. He was the president of it. And, you know, the day that he was shot, March 30th, 1981, he was coming out of the Washington Hilton after speaking to the AFL-CIO. Where he talked about being a proud union member. And so with the air traffic controllers, this was a simple question for him. People think it's like an anti-labor thing. When Reagan sat down with Drew Lewis, his transportation secretary, and others, and he said, this is real simple. They have a contract that says they can't strike, right, Drew?
Right.
And he's like, yes, Mr. President. Well, then they're in breach of contract. And it Reagan learned in his SAG days, right? You honor your contract. So that was a wake-up call for the Soviets. And you can go back to Reagan's first press conference where he famously said of the Soviets, they lie, they cheat, they steal. And you probably remember, Seb, the media just had a collective meltdown over that. And Reagan turned to Richard Allen, Dick Allen, who's still alive. He was his first national security advisor. And he said, Dick, correct me if I'm wrong, but they do lie and cheat and steal, don't they? And he said, yes, Mr. President, they do.
That reminds me of that great Dick Allen story from the first meeting of the cabinet or the NSC, where the guy comes to brief the president on foreign policy priorities and the Soviet Union, blah, 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 this kind of tepid boilerplate presentation. And he says, stop. When it comes to the Soviet Union, I have a plan. We win, they lose. That was the Gipper. We're talking to Professor Paul Kengel. He's the author most recently of The Devil and Bella Dodd, One Woman's Struggle Against Communism and Her Redemption. And a really disturbing book, but an important one, The Devil and Karl Marx. He is the new editor of The American Spectator. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. If you enjoy the deep dives with the real experts, with the true, true newsmakers, don't forget to subscribe. Go to your favorite podcast channel. Go to Spotify. Go to Apple Podcasts, Stitcher. Plug in my name, Sebastian Gorka, America First. Never, ever miss an episode. Leave us a five-star review. It helps with those dastardly algorithms. And share the links with your friends. Stay with us for more One-on-One with Professor Paul Kengel back after these messages. Did you notice in the State of the Union speech last month, Biden doubled down on his spending plans, adding even more to the federal deficit? That doesn't bode well for the value of your money. Sebastian Gorka here. Biden's disconnected view of the economy means there will be no meaningful steps taken to lessen inflation and lower interest rates. Your cash reserves and investments will be worth less, which is why I recommend calling veteran-owned Midas Gold Group to look into safeguarding your wealth with the stability of gold while you still can. Gold traditionally holds its value when economies fail, guarding against the destruction of inflation and the ruin of a recession. Don't let Biden's misguided economy wipe you out. Talk with the good folks at Midas Gold Group. Go to MidasGoldGroup.com or call 855-322-GOLD. That's 855-322-GOLD. It's gold you can hold. MidasGoldGroup.com, 855-322-GOLD. Welcome back to America First with me, Sebastian Gorka, and the new editor of The American Spectator, Professor Paul Kengel. They blame conservatives as extremists. They call us the people who are baying for violence. Let's remind the world what the Democrat Party, what the left have become of late. This is just a very, very small, a brief montage of the true radicals in America.
I just don't even know why there aren't uprisings all over the country, and maybe there will be.
People need to start taking to the streets. This is a dictator.
You know, there needs to be unrest in the streets for as long as there is unrest in our lives.
Enemies of the state.
Show me where it says that protests are supposed to be polite and peaceful.
Do something about your dad's immigration practices, you feckless.
When they go low, we kick.
How do you resist the temptation to run up and wring her neck?
Biggest terror threat in this country is white men, most of them radicalized right up to the right.
I thought he should have punched him in the face. I said, even if you lost, he insulted your wife.
Yes.
He came down the escalator and called Mexicans rapists and murderers. He said, well, what do you think I should have done? I said, I think you should have punched him in the face and then gotten out of the race. You would have been a hero.
I'd like to punch him in the face. I said, if we were in high school, I'd take you behind the gym and beat the hell out of him.
Punch some people in the face.
When was the last time an actor assassinated a president?
They're still going to have to go out and put a bullet in Donald Trump, and that's a fact.
You're a historian by training, Paul. What happened to the Democrat Party? I think back to the likes of Scoop Jackson and JFK. They never would have called for violence against somebody they politically disagreed with. And also, they were ardent anti-communists. Have you an explanation for what's happened?
Yeah, going back to JFK, I mean, they reached across the aisle. In fact, speaking of anti-communism, JFK ran against Richard Nixon for president in 1960. And years before that, the Kennedy family and Richard Nixon, they were all tight. They were all close. Yeah. In fact, JFK's father, Joseph Kennedy, wrote a check to Nixon, the Nixon Senate campaign, when he was running against Helen Gahagan Douglas, who was called the Pink Lady. And they said you defeat her, Dick, right? They cross party lines. Joe McCarthy, who was a Republican, was very tight with the Kennedy family. Dated one of the Kennedy daughters. Used to hang out at Hyannisport at the Kennedy compound. Robert F. Kennedy worked for Joe McCarthy. In fact, Robert F. Kennedy's daughter, I think it's Kathleen Kennedy Townsend, her godfather is Joe McCarthy. So, wow. And then fast forwarding to Ronald Reagan and another Massachusetts, right, famous politician, Tip O'Neill, how they got along so well. But no, you would have never heard calls for violence like that. And thank you, Seb, for playing that montage. And I could see it on the computer because I'm doing this via Skype. And I could tell people that are listening, probably half those clips are from MSNBC.
Yeah.
Which is very disturbing. If people talk that way on Fox or Newsmax, right, they'd shut them down right away. And lines like that from Nancy Pelosi, two or three of those were from Pelosi, referring to Republicans and conservatives as enemies of the state.
Yeah.
And people calling for outright violence, punching, assassinating Donald Trump. And the liberal left forgets about all of this. All of this.
Is it
want to focus on something else, like January 6th or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. The only insurrection in human history where the insurrectionists were unarmed and the only people to get killed were an unarmed Air Force veteran of 14 years killed by a police officer. Paul, so how do we get here? Because there's this kind of sea change moment where, and you're the expert of the 20th century, where we were fighting the external ideological enemy who had agents of subversion domestically. They had people who were Americans who were helping them. Sometimes, you know, like the Rosenbergs, they were the willing traitors. Often they were just what Stalin called useful idiots. But now it seems as if the majority of the ideological enemy is actually inside America, and it's not Russian agents, it's not Chinese agents, but the primary problem are American politicians who wish to dismantle America. What can we say that Karl Marx won in a certain way?
Yeah, what did James Burnham say? For the left, the preferred enemy is always to the right.
Yeah.
And so no matter what is going on otherwise with some other issue, the preferred enemy is the right. I'm kind of surprised right now you look at so many leftists who are flying Ukraine flags right next to their gay pride flags, right?
Yeah.
And it makes me kind of uneasy. I mean, certainly I'm anti-Putin and I write about it all the time, and I urge people on the right to please be anti-Putin too. But I always have this sense of unease allying with people on the left whose preferred enemy are Christian bakers and florists and parents opposing CRT and DEI and so forth. But kind of the larger picture, I think a lot of these people on the left today, they're not liberals. They are leftists. They are hard leftists.
But it's a peculiar kind of leftist that likes the FBI and the IRS being used to politically target pro-life preachers and people who politically disagree with them. It's a very weird kind of leftist, because the left used to hate the man, didn't they, Paul?
Right. It's exactly right. I remember P.J. O'Rourke used to say that a lot. But they did. Yeah, well, kind of in the 60s, right? The hippie left.
Yeah.
The hippie left was against big government. LBJ was their target. Hey, LBJ, how many kids did you kill today? They were burning their draft cards. You know, they were the conscientious objectors in those days were leftists like the Berrigan brothers and others who didn't want to go to Vietnam. Today, the conscientious objector is the Christian baker who's begging the LGBTQ lobby to please leave him alone. Right. I don't want to have to make a cake with two guy figurines on the top of it. Could you just go somewhere else, please? No, you're a hater.
But does this mean that Karl Marx's ideology is now, you know, the Berlin Wall fell, Soviet Union dissolved, Warsaw Pact gone. But it seems as if, you know, the zombie-like ghost of Karl Marx has fully infiltrated one of our political parties, Paul.
Well, I think in different ways. I mean, you know, Marx called for the quote, ruthless criticism of everything that exists. You know, Marx had had a favorite quote of all things from Goethe's Faust, the Mephistopheles character. Now, the Mephistopheles character was the demon, the devil character.
Yeah.
And that quote was, everything that exists deserves to perish.
Wow.
So there's a sort of nihilistic anger, tear it down. And as you heard in the montage, punch him in the face,
yeah.
Right? Enemies of the state, where there's no charity in it. There's just anger. There's just this kind of fulminating rage. And I think to take it into a deeper spiritual level, today's left is highly secular. It's become de-Christianized, which reminds me of the kind of the Jacobins of the in fact, they even have a publication called the Jacobin,
yeah.
Of all things today. They think that's cute. But in Woodrow Wilson's day, FDR's day, JFK's day, liberals back then, liberal Democrats were religious.
Yes.
Woodrow Wilson was a 5-point Calvinist.
Well, right? Well, not only that, I mean, there's videotape of Biden not too long ago talking about how abortion is a tragedy. And Obama saying a marriage is between one man and one woman. We're talking to the editor of the American Spectator, Professor Paul Kengel, Grove City College. Stay with us for more with the editor of the American Spectator. We'll be back. Just when you thought it couldn't get any better, Mike Lindell with MyPillow is launching the MyPillow 2.0. When Mike invented the MyPillow, it had everything you could ever want in a pillow. Nearly 20 years later, he discovered a new technology that makes it even better. MyPillow 2.0 has the patented adjustable fill of the original MyPillow, and now with a brand new fabric that is made with a temperature-regulating thread, the MyPillow 2.0 is the softest and coolest pillow you'll ever own. For my exclusive listeners, the MyPillow 2.0 has a buy one, get one free offer with promo code Gorka. MyPillow 2.0 temperature regulating technology is 100% made in the USA and comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Just go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener square for the buy one, get one free offer, enter promo code Gorka or call 800-829-8468. That's code G-O-R-K-A. Go today. Welcome back to America First One-on-One with me, Sebastian Gorka, and Professor Paul Kengel. If you enjoy what we provide for you here on America First, please support those who make it possible. This is a free market enterprise. We don't get a cent of the tax dollars that the NPR establishment outlets do. Support those who support us. Great Americans like Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. It's so good. He sold 71 million of them. He's just upgraded it to the 2.0. Some amazing BOGO offers. If you use my name, you'll get up to 66% off his line of more than 150 items on his website. Get a good night's sleep. Treat yourself. Treat a loved one. The number to call in your order, 800-829-8468 or MyPillow.com. That's 800-829-8468, MyPillow.com. But for those massive, massive discounts, you've got to use the special code word. It's G-O-R-K-A. All right, Paul, you mentioned the war in Ukraine. The latest piece you sent me from The Spectator has to do with the rusty saber rattling of Vladimir Putin, Putin's nuclear itch concerning some very, very disturbing statements he has made. Talk to us about this former KGB colonel and what's happened in the last year with regards to the Kremlin and their master plan for domination in Eastern Europe.
Well, he's increasingly been talking about nuclear weapons, and I've noticed this going back almost a year now. So his invasion of the Ukraine is now about, I guess, maybe 13, 14 months old.
Yep.
So I followed his nuclear rhetoric very carefully. It's very disturbing, the different things that he's been saying. And I felt all along that the more desperate that this guy gets and the more that the Russians lose on the ground in the Ukraine, which they will because the Russians always get their butts kicked in military battles. I mean, people saying all the time, can you believe the Ukrainians are repelling the Russians? Oh, yeah. I mean, the only time the Russians ever pull anything off is thanks to the Russian winter when they're invaded. I know, right? Napoleon 1812, Hitler 130.
The drop in temperature and the mud, right?
Yeah, it's exactly right. And by sheer numbers, you know, losing 20, 30 million people in World War II.
Yeah.
You take the U.S. and the U.K. combined in World War II, we lost like, what, 600,000-700,000 combined. Multiply that by like 30 or 40,
yeah,
and you're getting to what the Soviets lost in World War II.
Yeah, it's relatively easy to win when you have no regard for human life and you've got a lot of people to just kind of throw into the minefield.
That's exactly right. Yeah, throw them into the meat grinder, which they did in World War One,
and Afghanistan.
That's right, in Afghanistan. So you know, here they are. They're losing in Ukraine. That's not a surprise. And I fear, and I felt all along, and I'm not trying to scare people or be alarmist, that if Putin can find a reason out of desperation as kind of a cornered rat, right? And who was it? Rebecca, she wrote the book on this and talked about the metaphor of
Rebecca Koffler.
That's it, Rebecca Koffler. Yeah. Talked about Putin as a kid being cornered by a rat in his apartment building, right? And saying that he would never, ever do that again. I just see him lashing out. And what I wrote about at American Spectator this week, here's the situation that's just happened. So Russia learned last week that Britain is supplying to the Ukraine tank munitions that use depleted uranium shells.
Yes.
Okay. Now these are armor-piercing rounds that accompany their Challenger 2 tanks that London is providing to Zelensky in Kiev. Now, Britain has used these rounds for years, for decades. They are considered standard conventional armory. Here's what Putin said in response. Quote, "It seems that the West really decided to fight with Russia to the last Ukrainian, no longer in words, but in deeds. But in this regard, I would like to note that if all this happens, then Russia will have to respond accordingly. I mean that the collective West is already starting to use weapons with a nuclear component." All right. Now and the British Ministry of Defense said this is hogwash. In fact, I quote a British Army tank commander and chemical weapons expert who says this is classic disinformation. A desinformatia is what the Soviets called it, disinformation. But Hungary has already responded by urging Britain to not supply these munitions because Hungary, being a NATO member country, knows Putin's looking for a pretext.
Right.
And whatever it takes to agitate this guy and give him a reason to possibly go nuclear isn't good.
But let's be clear here. For those who aren't familiar with these new munitions, depleted uranium is a side effect of nuclear processing. The round isn't nuclear. It's uranium metal that is very dense, very heavy, heavier than lead. It's like tungsten. It's very hard, which means it retains mass when it hits the target. So, of course, you're absolutely right. This is a KGB colonel using desinformatia. He's saying, oh, this is a nuclear weapon. No, it's just a very heavy metal that makes for an effective bullet, quote unquote. But, of course, we need people like the good Professor Kengor to unpack that for us. The latest article, you've got to check it out, is up on the American Spectator, Putin's Nuclear Itch. The more he loses, the stronger it becomes. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First, coming to you from the ReliefFactor.com studios. Relief Factor, pain relief that works, pain relief that's real, pain relief that is liberating. 500,000 Americans across the country, me included. Yes, I had a lower back pain issue that plagued me for 9 years, almost a decade. I took Relief Factor, and just 2 weeks later, I was pain-free, and I'm still pain-free more than 4 years later. That should be you. That could be you, but there's only one way to find out, but it's super easy. Go to ReliefFactor.com, order the 3-week quick starter pack for the paltry sum of $19.95. It'll be at your door in 3 days or less. Take it morning and evening like I do, and I promise you, Dr. G's guarantee, by the end of those 3 weeks, you will know whether it works for you, like it works for me and 500,000 of your fellow Americans. Don't delay. Call right now. ReliefFactor.com, 800-500-8384. That's 800-500-8384. 800-283-8384. ReliefFactor.com. ReliefFactor.com. You're listening to America First One-on-One with Professor Kengor.
Too much of what's happening in our country today is not normal. Donald Trump and the MAGA Republicans represent an extremism that threatens the very foundations of our republic.
With war in Europe, with an open border, with rising inflation, with 110,000 killed by fentanyl in the last 12 months alone, the idea that any leader of any party or an incumbent president would label half the nation as a threat to America as fascists, Paul, that never happened during the Cold War. How dangerous is this rhetorical flourish that we are seeing again and again and again from right inside the White House?
Well, to again circle back to someone like Ronald Reagan or John F. Kennedy, they never talked that way.
Yeah.
In fact, the president that Reagan defeated, the incumbent in 1980, Jimmy Carter, never talked that way. That's over the top. 75 million people voted for Donald Trump, which is a gigantic number. And so to speak that way, yeah, it's outrageous. And to go back to what we were talking about in the previous segment, with what's going on in Ukraine, with what Putin is doing, I mean, this ought to be a time for someone like Biden to try to unify the country. Putin, in addition to saying what he said last week about the uranium depleted munition shells, he said just over the past weekend that he's planning to put nukes in Belarus.
Yeah. Yeah.
This summer in June or July, that's only a couple months off. And for people who don't follow that part of the world, the biggest thug dictator post Cold War in all of Eastern Europe and the former Soviet bloc, other than Putin, is a guy named Alexander Lukashenko,
who even looks like a Cold War KGB thug.
He really does. In fact, he and Putin are like right out of central casting.
Yeah.
Right? You can picture these two guys working together at the KGB in the 80s. And he's been in charge in Belarus since 1994.
Yeah.
All right. He's going on 30 years. Since Belarus became independent and democratic, you know, this guy basically hijacked the whole country, has kept himself in power for almost three decades, just like Putin did when Putin came to power in 2000. So these two guys are teaming up. And for people who, again, want a good sense of this, look at a map, okay? I don't have it in front of me, but I think I got my geography right. Belarus is between Poland and Russia. Go north of Belarus, you have Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania,
yeah,
all NATO member countries. Go south of Belarus, you have Ukraine right down there. So if nuclear missiles get placed in Belarus, man, they are right literally on the doorstep on the literal border of Poland.
But let me ask you, somebody who is, you know, preeminent as a historian in the Cold War era, who knows where these people came from. These aren't strangers. As you said, these are right out of central casting from the Cold War. These are thugs from the Soviet Union. These people aren't crazy. This isn't, you know, Little Kim in North Korea. They're evil. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, these are murderous thugs. But are they irrational, Professor?
No, they're not irrational. I think that's a big difference. In fact, Lukashenko served in the Red Army,
yeah,
the Soviet Army. Vladimir Putin served as lieutenant colonel in the KGB, where he learned desinformatia, disinformation, you know, agitprop, agitation and propaganda. So, you know, these guys know what they're doing. Little Kim and his father and the one before him, they're nuts. They're out of their minds.
Yeah.
I mean, they are really weird guys. You know, they've
When you're kidnapping, you know, actresses off the beaches of South Korea to become members of your harem, you're right, a tad weird.
That's right. What they call their satisfaction corps.
Yeah.
Their pleasure squad, which is this group of you know, poor North Korean women nabbed off the streets by the authorities to serve as sex slaves to the dictator totalitarian hereditary dictator, you know, Kim, three Kims since what, the mid-1940s. But in the case of Putin and Lukashenko, you can just tell by looking at these guys. You know, they have this grim, cold, calculating look, and they're much smarter. They're much more strategic. And I think they're much more dangerous. I mean, Kim has not invaded South Korea. They might talk about it from time to time, but the fact that Putin would go in and take not just the Crimea, but go all the way to Kiev and want all of the Ukraine, this is a dangerous individual.
But let's be clear, that decision wasn't a function of some irrational spur of the moment decision. We know Putin's been giving these public speeches for the last 21 years of how Ukraine is not a legitimate state, doesn't have a right to exist, neither does Poland, neither the Baltic states. But the real catalyst was, of course, what? Why did nothing happen while we were in the White House? The catalyst was the 46th president surrendering Afghanistan, leaving in just the most shamefaced fashion. And that's when, you know, Vladimir looks at his watch and tells his generals, okay, guys, America's not in the picture. Let the tanks roll. This is logic.
Yeah, that's right. The 20th anniversary of 9/11, right? It's going to be September 11th, 2021. And we were to celebrate 20 years without the Taliban. What happens? On September 11, 2021, the Taliban flag is flying once again over Afghanistan. And Putin looked at that. Xi looked at that. And it was just a few months after that that Putin moved against Ukraine. And the last time that Putin had done this was 2014 under Barack Obama. And liberals, listen up. I know you hate Donald Trump, but Putin didn't do anything like this under Trump. Yeah. For 4 years, he hit the pause button. Yeah. So he did it in 2014. He did it again in 2021. And to go back even further, and I wrote a piece on this for American Spectator called New Revelation on Putin's Long Plan to Partition Ukraine, how Putin was talking about partitioning Ukraine in 2010. So for people who are listening, including these weird kind of Putinists in the United States who want to blame all of this on Zelensky, and you know, Zelensky came in 2019.
Yeah.
All right. So Putin has been doing this 2010, 2014. And the speech that he gave, basically the State of the Union speech to the Duma, April 2005, that's when Putin called the collapse of the Soviet Union the greatest geopolitical catastrophe of the 20th century. Yeah. That was 2005,
right.
14 years before Zelensky came into power and started his Nazification, as Putin called it.
Yeah. The Nazification of a nation being led by a diminutive Jewish comedian. Never let facts get in the way of your communist narrative. I'm Sebastian Gorka. We're talking to Paul Kengor. This is America First One-on-One, coming to you from the ReliefFactor.com studios. Relief Factor, pain relief that works, pain relief that's real, pain relief that is liberating. 500,000 Americans across the country, me included. Yes, I had a lower back pain issue that plagued me for 9 years, almost a decade. I took Relief Factor, and just 2 weeks later, I was pain-free, and I'm still pain-free more than 4 years later. That should be you. That could be you, but there's only one way to find out, but it's super easy. Go to ReliefFactor.com, order the three-week quick starter pack for the paltry sum of $19.95. It'll be at your door in 3 days or less. Take it morning and evening like I do, and I promise you, Dr. G's guarantee, by the end of those 3 weeks, you will know whether it works for you, like it works for me and 500,000 of your fellow Americans. Don't delay. Call right now. ReliefFactor.com, 800-500-8384. That's 800-500-8384. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Stay with us for more One-on-One with Professor Paul Kengor back after these messages. Welcome back to America First One-on-One with me, Sebastian Gorka, and Professor Paul Kengor. These people who say they're conservatives, Paul, who say that ignore Ukraine, who cares, let them go to hell, Putin's a good guy, he's fighting the globalists, and he's a Christian martyr to the West. The idea that a former KGB colonel is somehow a good guy. Do you have any idea where this insanity comes from? I get isolationism. There's a strong thread in U.S. domestic policy of domestic politics of isolationism. But to think a KGB colonel's a good guy?
Yeah, it's very, very troubling. And almost any time I write a piece on Ukraine and Putin, I get emails from people calling me a warmonger. And I said, why a what? A warmonger? It's almost like what liberals do. They just come up with this weird phrase and they throw it at you and you're scratching your head. You don't even know what it means. And I have to say to people, I don't want war between the U.S. and Russia. I'm just criticizing Putin here. You know, Putin's the aggressor. Putin's the aggressor. He invaded this country that for 100 years, the Ukrainians have been under the jackboot of Russia, the Soviet Union, going back to 1920, 1922, Holodomor in the 1930s, a forced famine where 5 to 10 million Ukrainians out of a population of about 30 million starved to death in just a few years in a forced collectivization famine by Stalin. Yeah. And they suffer through the 40s, the 50s, the 60s, 80s. They finally break free, 1990, 91, declare independence from the Soviet Union. And they're an independent country. They're not perfect. They've got problems. And then they've got this wolf at the door at the Kremlin who wants to partition them, who wants to take them back, takes the Crimea, then invades Kiev. Putin invaded them.
Yeah.
So Ukraine is not the aggressor here. Go into a kind of little bit deeper. I think a lot of them, Seb, are inclined to say favorable things about Putin because of, I don't know, they like him maybe on some cultural issues.
Right.
Maybe
but if Putin says, I don't like homosexuality, that doesn't make him a good guy. Because guess what? Right. Neither did Bin Laden. Does Bin Laden suddenly become a hero because he liked to kill homosexuals? I mean, right. Where is the critical thinking?
I know. Yeah, they'll say, well, you know, Putin's against same-sex marriage. And he says, we will have mama and papa in Russia. Right. Okay, well, good. You know, he supports, you know, mom and dad families. I'm with him on that. But that doesn't mean that you therefore go and look and excuse or find reasons to think that give him the benefit of the doubt when he's invading the Ukraine.
And let's be clear.
He's the bad guy.
Here's my response. If I think we should be helping Ukraine. Why? Here's a little historic factoid for all conservatives and anybody who loves America. If Holland, Spain, and France hadn't supported the Revolutionary War in this nation, America would still be part of the Commonwealth of the UK. That's just a fact. They helped us become independent. This is Ukraine 1776. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. Whatever you drink, keep your head in a swivel, watch your six, hold the line, never give up, never give in, and stay frosty.
Forth upon this continent a new nation conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
The world will little note or long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
I can hear you. The rest of the world hears you. And the people... And the people who knocked these buildings down will hear all of us soon.
And we will make America great again.
This is America First with Sebastian Gorka.
Mr. G, what day is it? Is it Thursday?
Yes, it is.
Isn't that supposed to be kind of like a relatively slow news day?
Nah, not really.
No?
Not anymore.
Not anymore. But today, there's like an extra dollop of news on top of the news, isn't there?
And today is pretty heavy.
Today's pretty heavy. Let's start with incredibly exciting news. Happened this morning. Jacob Chansley, Navy veteran, known as the January 6th Shaman, has been released from prison 14 months early. I think probably because of what? Certain footage that was released by Kevin McCarthy, the new Speaker of the House. And I tweeted that out earlier this morning, and I'd like to bring somebody on board live in front of our millions of listeners right now to just do a fact check for me. He just called himself off air the runt of the America First team. I'm just going to introduce him as John C., our social media maven, calling in from somewhere that is run by a certain person called DeSantis. John C., are you there?
Hi, and how are you?
Very well. How long ago did I tell you you would be on our show today, John C.?
About 2 minutes.
About 2 minutes ago. Are you excited after about, 5 years to finally get to meet all of our listeners and viewers?
I'm so excited. It's been a dream come true that this is happening right now. I've had fake conversations with you for years, and now it's really happening.
You feel poorly treated, John?
From you? No, absolutely not.
Because we would love
guys,
to.
Absolutely.
By who?
By the rest of the guys, absolutely.
Oh, yeah, especially Mr. G, right? Mr. G, what do you think? Should we have John Cassio in all our extra meetings because he feels left out?
I think we should have Cassio when we talk sci-fi on with us.
Oh, hey, that's a good question. John, what kind of movies do you like?
I mean,
it's not a difficult question. It's like, what do you like, chocolate or not? It's like a yes or no. What kind of movies do you like, John?
I'm a big rom-com guy.
Really?
Yes.
What about science fiction? Tell me you like science fiction and fantasy.
No, because I don't live in my mother's basement. No.
Ouch! My mother's dead. She doesn't even have a basement, and I love science fiction. Carl, you and Mr. G, you should have like a bromance. All right, let's get back to the work at hand. Let's put up the tweet again. John, I'm calling you because this is already out of date. I sent this to you moments ago. I looked on my Twitter account right now. This tweet that I sent out about 10 o'clock this morning on my account has 806,000... let me just repeat this. 806,000 views in less than 24 hours. I'm calling you to have you on the show because we love you, John. But also, isn't that a record for you manage my accounts? Isn't that a record?
Yeah, that's right up there. That's definitely a top. There might have been a Trump one that's close, but not nearly what that is.
Wow, good, excellent. That's what I needed. Do you have any idea? I'm going to go through the whole team. John, do you have any idea why this one so resonates, this news of this prison release? Why this should be the one that gets almost a million views in less than a day?
I think you hit it right at the perfect time. You were right on it early this morning. You had it before I saw it, and I was getting ready to text you, and then I went on your feed and saw that it was there, and I said, look at this. So you did that. And on both ends of the aisle, you know, there's still interest, obviously, in January 6th and what happened and what's going to happen moving forward. And I think, you know, it just kind of worked out. And it was a great job by you.
Good. Thank you, buddy. Just doing a complete fact check there. Last question. John C., social media maven, do you love your job?
Love it.
All right.
You're my hero, really.
Are you going to, is it official? Are you going to be an old bastard soon?
Yes, I am.
When do you hit the big 4-0?
April 20th is my birthday.
April 20th. Wow. Mm-hmm. You and Stalin, I think. All right. Happy birthday in advance. John C., our social media maven. All right, guys. Big, massive news. Let's put that tweet up there next to me again. I was just shocked. And I wanted to have John on to just, you know, make sure that I'm not crazy here. Let's go through the team. Why do we think this was big? Let's start with Alex, who's always hiding in the corner. Alex, 800,000 views in less than a day. Why do you think this tweet of all tweets?
Because he became the symbol of injustice of J6.
Ah, yes. That's wow. Wow. Succinct and to the point. The symbol of injustice. Eric, what do you think?
Same thing as Alex said, that not only he became a symbol of injustice, that they literally admitted, the prosecutors admitted, yeah, he didn't actually commit violence or anything. We want to go after him because he became a symbol of that day. So that's why they gave him a bigger sentence. And then subsequently, yeah, Tucker releases the footage, completely exonerating this guy. He did absolutely nothing wrong that day whatsoever. And the base cares about this, clearly.
Gee, do you agree that it's because he became a symbol of injustice?
Yes, I totally agree with Alex and Eric. So his image pretty much become I think he was possibly one of the remarkable person that you will be able to remember from J6.
Yeah.
So, and also after him, there was, there are quite a bit derivative figures who look similar like him, came out later.
Right.
So,
but we will remember him for sure. We'll remember Ashley Babbitt, Matt Pernis. So, yeah, that symbolic figure. Mr. G, I don't want to read too much into this, but I think this is really important in a political sense, because what have we been told from, January the 7th, that event killed President Trump's political future? If I, with my Twitter account, can have that kind of resonance in a few hours, doesn't it mean that January 6th is being interpreted by the American people very differently from how the establishment would want them to interpret it?
Yes, and I also think that's why you got such a massive number. First of all, I can't believe you got 800,000 impressions on that already. That's insane. But I think the reason you got so many, because it's a massive, massive story. Everybody knows who he is. But you have so many people that are on Twitter that are ignoring this.
Yeah.
I just went through right now. MSNBC, the New York Times, NBC News.
Well, they're ignoring the story.
Every
the
single one of them
been released.
It. Yes, but you know who else is ignoring it? A lot of these establishment type sites on our side that are afraid to touch the January 6th issue. They've ignored it as well.
Will you give me an example of one?
Well, I'm just going through it. I was walking through it. Some of the people that are tweeting about it, it's all the kind of what I would call the hardcore side on the right that isn't afraid to talk about January 6th. Nah, I don't know exactly if Fox is, but I didn't see any of the Fox personalities tweeting about it.
Wow, that's fascinating. Let's keep our eye on that, Eric, as well. I've already reached out. As soon as I heard the news, I reached out to Counsel Shipley, who was the new lawyer for Jacob Chansley. I've said, send him our grant. Congratulations. God bless that naval veteran. And if he wants to, the doors are open. We are happy to have him on our show. But we had William Shipley, his new attorney, on the show just, I think it was less than 2 weeks ago when that footage was released. Last thing I have to say, super fun way to open the show. I love my team. God bless America. This, what we have seen in the last few hours, is the real America. And also, God bless Kevin McCarthy. Whatever you may have thought about him in the past, this happened, I think, because of what Kevin McCarthy did. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First, coming to you live from ReFactor.com studios just outside the insalubrious, fetid, rank, malodorous, noisome swamp that is Washington, D.C. If you love what we give you as much as we love making it and providing it to you, make sure you never miss a millisecond of what we do, especially our one-on-one deep dives. Subscribe right now to the podcast. Go to Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, whichever platform you prefer. Subscribe. It's absolutely free. Leave us a 5-star review. Share the links with your friends, because that's how we will win. And if you're America First, check out all the amazing America First gear. Latest product is our Good Guy with a Gun. Are you a good guy with a gun? Like those officers in Nashville, get the t-shirt today. The hottest selling item still is the FBI t-shirt, jointly launched with Chris Plant. FBI, Fascist Brew of Intimidation, so much more. Challenge coins, hoodies, my books, sebgorkastore.com, sebgorkastore.com.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.